I'm excited this morning. I don't have a ton to tell you. I'm excited to kind of send us off into our small groups because that's kind of what we're talking about today. And I'm excited that the Spirit was kind of pushing on Nolan to talk about what happens when you go home because that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. But we've been talking all week about following Jesus. And I've been just sort of sharing with you how I understand following Jesus, thinking maybe the Spirit will do something in you and you can take some of it home with you as either you started following Jesus this week or you're encouraged to continue to follow with him. And we talked again about how we follow Jesus. I follow Jesus because he was, when I encountered him, he was unlike anything I had ever encountered before, like no one I had ever known before. And as I understood him more, he calls me, he calls us to an eternal kind of life that we could never get on our own. And you start that process with a prayer, in essence, when you cry out to Jesus or you tell him, I want to follow you, or you admit, I'm messed up. Jesus, can you straighten me out? And you enter into this lifelong conversation with Jesus. And it's through that that we continue to like sort out life with him. We learn that Jesus has this book, these scriptures, that as our rabbi, that's how he teaches us. And there are places in the scripture that are shallow enough for us all to get into. There's stuff that's way deep that people have studied and debated and wrestled with for centuries. So it's good to keep other voices in our lives that as we go to the scriptures, we can take these scriptures to other people and say, here's what I think Jesus is saying. And you have this ongoing conversation with the scriptures. And we talked yesterday about how as you're following Jesus, you learn that you're not the only one and that you step into this family that's centuries and millennia years old and that they exist everywhere, not just here at Fort, not just in Wisconsin or America, but all over the world. And Jesus has this family that's following him. And so if you're going to follow Jesus and if I'm going to follow Jesus, being a part of God's family is part of that following. And we looked at yesterday, then this family of Jesus's, it has always met. It gets together because whenever you're into something and you find other people that are into something, when you meet together and you just celebrate whatever that thing is, it encourages and pushes you on in your appreciation of that thing. And that's kind of what's going on in church. And so yesterday we sort of looked at some of the big picture stuff of why Christ followers get together. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about God's family and what it's like to be a part of a really small corner or part of God's family. In my church, these are known as huddles. And you kind of are already doing them this entire week. You're in these cabins. And so there's this thing about getting in the midst of God's people and experiencing him. This summer when Jesus was kind of rocking my world, Promise Keepers was just getting up and going. And so my dad took me to that. And we were at Soldier Field, probably the only time I would willingly go to Soldier Field, unless it was the NFC Championship a few years ago. Okay, it's early. Thank you. Good. Seriously, that was a big deal, right? Like the Packers went into the Bears' home stadium, won the trophy that was named after the Bears' most famous coach on their way to the Super Bowl, which the trophy is named after the Packers' favorite coach. So we must all just be Packer fans here. Like nobody wants to smile. Okay, good. I feel you. I appreciate that. So all right, so but the first time I was at that Promise Keepers, like Soldier Field was filled with all of these men and then they covered the field up too. And like I just never ever experienced anything like that. Because all of the songs were sung in baritone, and it was like 80,000 or whatever Soldier Field can hold. And so there's something about when you get around a lot of Jesus followers. But then what I want to talk about today is what's it like then to get a few of them and like get away from everybody else and then start to talk about life following Jesus. And in my life following Jesus, the times in which I've seen the greatest growth or the times when I've felt like really, I think I understand this better, are when I've had a smaller group of guys where we just like prod into each other's lives and ask questions and go places that we don't allow other people in our lives. And so currently, I'm a part of a huddle. It's just six guys, and we meet every week, and I just want to share with you kind of like what we do. And so, as you could probably guess, we use a triangle, And what we do is we ask each other a series of questions. And so what I want to do is I just want to show you some questions. We have this sheet that has like lists of them. And what we do is we talk about this, we read them, and then we all like pick a question of like, this question just for some reason jumps out to me. And then we talk through with each other. And there's three categories. And so I just want to share these with you. And then I want to kind of cut short and maybe send you guys off. So unless somebody here is like training to be, is it a stenographer who sits in court and like takes down every single word? As far as you know and as far as I know, it's called a stenographer. Unless any of you are like that, I kind of want to like, as I'm telling you how we do it, have you do it. And if any one of these questions just like sticks out to you, just plug that one away. And when we go off into your cabin time, you can talk about that question. So I and these guys, we ask a series of questions and we start with up questions. Up questions are questions about God, where it's about what are you thinking about God and how are you pushing? So I just want to give you a few examples of what I think maybe these questions might look like for you. Maybe a question you could start to ask yourself as you've been with us this entire week is, am I really following Jesus? Jesus had his 12, and within the 12, he had this three that were kind of his closest guys. There's times when there's 72, and then there's just times where there's massive crowds when people are just watching Jesus and observing Jesus. There's some people that are pushing back at Jesus. And so it's really easy, especially like at Fort, or if you go to a large church or you go to a Christian school, to definitely be one of the crowd. So this is a question that we might ask of, am I really following Jesus? Am I just watching Jesus? Or am I intent on Jesus? You have my attention. You can tell me what to do. You can explain these things to me. So that would be like one question you might ask. Another question to ask is, so what do I think of God or about God? We've talked a little bit about that. So when maybe if you told your friends, like, I'm going to go to this camp, and they're like, well, what do you do at that camp? And then you tell them, like, well, they throw candy at us, right? Who wouldn't want to go to that camp? Right, we have incredible meals. You can go out on the lake. Like, there's horses, there's archery, there's 22s, there's all this other stuff we do at camp, right? And then you're like, yeah, but we also like get together and we talk about God. It'd be interesting to find out, well, like, what do your friends think of that piece? Or maybe even your parents are like, you're going to this camp. It's a God camp, or someone invited you. Like, what did you think about God? It's an interesting place to start of where do we get our ideas about God? Another thing is, do I feel or do I see God in my life? So while you've been at camp this week, has anything happened where you're like, whoa, that was God? Or maybe you thought of God in a new way, or you saw God active in a new way, something you hadn't thought of before. Real simple question. And maybe another one is just, what kind of questions do I have for or about God? Because any one of these questions, you could just camp out on this thing for a while. So these guys that I meet with, we ask these up questions about God. We also ask in questions. In questions are about you. And this is the stuff that we end up spending a lot of time on. Something like this, like, do I even want to follow Jesus? How many of you have seen A Christmas Story? Yeah. Fantastic, yep. I mean, it's on TBS for like, I don't know, 72 times 2, 144 like straight hours, right, during the Christmas time. One of my favorite movies of all time. When I think it's his aunt, right, who buys him the rabbit costume. It's like a random one. And the mom is like, put it on because we have to tell your aunt that you wore it. And he goes upstairs and he puts it on and he comes down and mom and dad laugh at him. And he's like, can I take it off? And his dad is like, do you even want to wear that? And it makes me, I remember random stuff. It makes me think sometimes like the whole following Jesus thing is like that rabbit costume where like we put it on. We go to camp and like we put it on Sundays. We don't even really want to wear it. So it's a legitimate question to ask. I'm like, do I even want to follow Jesus? Or am I just doing stuff because I'm supposed to do these things or my folks want me to, you know, or my youth pastor is like a really fun guy or girl and I like that stuff. But when it gets down to Jesus, do I want to follow Jesus? Do I really want to pray or read the Bible? I think one of the things I love about the scriptures is you just see honest people trying to walk through and figure out life with Jesus. And so I think these are fantastic questions just to ask on some level is, do I really want to open the scriptures? Do I want to have a conversation with Jesus? Do I want to give him room in there? Is there something in me that needs to change? This is like probably one of the most uncomfortable to ask, but James says that the scriptures are supposed to be like a mirror, right? And one of the things about camp that's great is you don't need mirrors, right? Amen? Because like you can just roll out of bed and like come. Looks like some of you did. Just kidding. That's why I just shave all of my hair off, because then I don't have to do anything with it in the morning. But when you come to camp, it's you don't have to worry all that much about it. But if this were a school day, I bet we would have a hard time like getting to breakfast, right? Or you would have your clock set like way early or whatever. Because every one of us, like, you check yourself out before you go. And if there's something wrong, the book of James, it says, like, you fix it. And the scriptures are meant to be that way. That we're supposed to look at the scriptures and see stuff that Jesus maybe wants to work at and change in us. So that's a question we might ask. Or we might ask, like, what do I think of church? We had this conversation last night. I don't know. Hopefully you had good conversations when you went off to your cabin time. But what's your feeling about it? Do you like going? Do you want it to be longer, shorter? What's your feeling about it? These are deeper, like, inside questions we can ask about ourselves. And then the guys that I meet with, we ask out questions. So you're asking up questions about God. You're asking in questions about you. And we start to ask out questions about others. We're going to talk about others in our last couple sessions. We might ask stuff like, am I kind to my family? The easiest place to start with this whole following Jesus thing are the people you live with. You can wake up in the morning and just say, Jesus, I thank you for this new morning. I want to go out and love with others. And I'm going to start with that guy or girl who's right over there. I'm going to start with that adult that's going to meet me downstairs for breakfast. You can just start in your home. Because it seems to just make sense that Jesus comes and he impacts you, and then he just works his way out of you. So a real simple question is just, am I kind and loving to the people at home? A real simple question to ask is, do I do anything for others? Is there any point in my day where I just do something for someone else just because? Another question we might ask is, do I know anyone who's not following Jesus? Is there anybody in my life, as I'm starting to process and think about this, or I'm sold out and following Jesus hard, is there anybody else that I know that's not following Jesus? We're going to hit on that one a little bit later. And then another one of those like deeper questions of, do I want others to follow Jesus? Do I feel like Jesus is somebody worth following? And am I doing anything with my life? Again, that's going to be a later session. I just think about if you've anyone ever like found a band before everyone else found that band. Yeah, it's kind of the coolest thing. And then you go through like these highs and lows with them, and then they sell out and a billion people know about them and they're not cool anymore. But there's this period, right? When you're like, have you heard this group, or have you heard this guy, or have you seen? Like, we do this just naturally with the stuff we love, right? Like, you find something incredible, you want to show it to others. So that's sort of a question about Jesus. Is Jesus something that I've found? Is he someone that I've encountered that I would just naturally tell somebody, hey, you should explore this or check this out? So these are the three categories when I get together in my little like small church, what we call huddles. We ask up questions, we ask in questions, we ask out questions. And I'll be a little vulnerable with you right now. I don't know what that looks like in middle school. Because when I was in middle school, the closest thing we ever got to this was like sleepovers, right? Now, I share with you, whenever we slept over at Ross Cornelius' house, we were quiet, and we were thinking about what we were going to say at Jamie's eulogy if he made it through the night. But other times, you know, you got sleepovers, and you ask, like, the really important questions, right? Like, if you could only have one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Right? And then you argue with each other. When your friend says, Pez, cherry-flavored Pez, and you tell them, seriously now, how could you survive on just eating Pez the rest of your life? Pez was a prehistoric candy device that you'd lift its head up and out would come a little piece of candy. It's fantastic. Or, you know, you would ask people like, well, who would win in the fight to the death, like Lionel or He-Man? And then you would debate for like an hour about that stuff, right? Or would you rather have no elbows or no knees for the rest of your life, right? These were like the deep penetrating questions when I was in middle school. So I don't know exactly like what a huddle looks like, but this is what I would tell you is you gotta have friends who have permission to like offend you, but not in the way of like, you're ugly. Like not that, because we all have too many of those friends, right? you need a friend that can be like, hey, when you did that, like it made me feel like garbage. Or like, hey, I noticed the way that you fill in the blank. And at your age, like maybe you don't always get to that point in that conversation, but we all need friends like that. And what I found in my life is we all think nobody else would want to be like that in our relationships. And so if you wait for someone else to come be that friend, it's going to be a while. And so the reason like my huddle exists is because my pastor was like came to the five of us and he's like, we're starting a huddle. And we're like, oh, okay, we're starting a huddle. Like, and it's going to meet at your workplace. Okay, I'm hosting it. And so, and we just like, we committed to like, all right, this is going to be our huddle. So you need somebody you can just go to and say, hey, will you ask me like stuff that's like really personal? And then first they'll be like, that's weird. But as long as you can like develop that relationship somewhere in your life, maybe plug this away. You know, when Nolan talks about when you get back home and eventually like you hit high school and you hit college and just life just changes, find these friends that can ask these things to you. So this is the big thing. So here are all the questions I just threw at you. This you can check and see if you got them all. Here's where growth happens every single Friday morning. Because we ask each other a series of questions like this, and then we ask this one word. Why? And this changes every question, because you can't avoid this question, right? Some of you have mastered your parents. When you come home from school, you'll do this when you get home from camp. They'll go, how was camp? You'll go, good. And they'll go, did you have fun? Yes. What was your favorite part? All of it. And they're like, oh, good, that was money well spent. And so every one of you, if your parent, if you were like, how was it? Good. And they go, why? You'd be like, whoa, I wasn't ready for the mom rebuttal, right? And so this is the question that makes like grown men squirm in my huddle of like, ooh. And so we'll ask each other stuff like, hey, last week you said you've been really trying to read the Bible more. Did you do it? And then you got to be a grown man, right? And be like, yes. And then we ask, why? Or I didn't read my Bible. Why? Oh, man, it makes everybody afraid. But this is the question that you grow with, right? Do you want to pray? Nah, I don't. Why? Do you like church? Kinda. Why? Do you have any friends that are following Jesus or not following Jesus? No. Why? And just being in a group of people that love you enough to ask you that why part, right? Like, I don't know if your parents ever do this. Did you clean your room? Nope. Why? Right? Like, if we all can learn to ask each other the why question, that's where growth happens. So I just want to throw out there, because I'm cutting out right now, in your extra like 6 to 10 minutes here, which one of these questions like stuck out to you? Maybe ask it in your cabin time. And then if you feel close enough to the people in your cabin, just follow it up with a why. So this is, in my mind, why we need God's family. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need the big family of God to follow Jesus, and then we need these smaller families of God. I want to close again with our refrain. And I will follow with your family. I will worship with your family, I will share life with your family. I will follow just you. I will follow with your family. I will worship with your family. I will share life. Father, again, we thank you for this new morning and this week and all the ways that you have blessed us, all the exciting and fun ways we've encountered you this week. We thank you for all of that and everybody who had a hand in making this camp happen this week. We pray, Lord, not just in the time we're about to go get into with our cabins, but going forward from here, that as we follow you, you would help us find other close friends that are following you that we can share life with, enjoy life together with, and then push each other Let each other go places that not everyone else can in our lives. We ask this ultimately, Jesus, that we might follow closer to you, and we ask it in your name. Amen.